Gather round, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Forget the worries, throw your problems away. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Turn smiles to the stars,
Celebration. Thank you so much for joining us all across the country. With Election Day approaching, there are important races, local ones and state ones. And of course, everyone is keeping an eye on what's happening in the nation's capital with control of the House and the Senate. So today we take a look at some of the gubernatorial races. We're focusing on Maryland and a newly released poll that follows Ben Jealous and incumbent Governor Hogan. So Dr. Ray Winbush from Oregon State will join us, and we will also focus on some news that's not politically related. But first, this message. Tuesday, November 6th is an important day. Your vote matters. When you go to the polls, vote for Issue 4 that will allow casino gaming in Arkansas. It's an opportunity to bring jobs for thousands of Arkansans, new tax revenue for the host cities, and for the entire state. So on Tuesday, vote for Issue 4, paid for by Driving Arkansas Forward.
Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. If you haven't voted, you're probably making plans to vote on November 6th. African Americans are paying particular attention to three gubernatorial races. One of those is in Maryland, where former NAACP President Ben Jealous is the Democratic candidate. Joining us to talk about that race and other races is the director of the Urban Studies Institute at Morgan State University, Dr. Ray Winbush. Dr. Winbush, thank you for joining us.
How you doing, Vicki?
I'm doing well, thank you. You all just released a poll in conjunction with The Afro, which is an African-American paper in the Baltimore area. And what did your poll show as it relates to this gubernatorial race with Mr. Jealous and the incumbent Governor Hogan?
Well, you would expect, and it showed in our data, that in terms of African Americans, the 600 voters that we interviewed, that Jealous is favored overwhelmingly by black folks. Hogan, the Republican, though, enjoys a 30% approval rate among African Americans. In fact, 30% of them rather say they will vote for him. But overwhelmingly, black folk prefer Ben Hogan.
So when you unpack
Ben Jealous,
this,
I'm sorry, Ben Jealous, go ahead.
Yes, when you unpack that data and you look at the percentage planning to vote for Mr. Jealous, what is it that they like about his platform?
Well, they like the education issue. Younger people are voting for him. He represents young people. He's an organizer in the community. They like that about him. These same voters, though, I think the ones that are more interesting are those black people who are voting for the Republican governor. Here.
And what is it that they find attractive with the incumbent, Governor Hogan?
They say that he's been very supportive of educational legislation, even though there's doubts about a lot of that. They also say that he seems to, has distanced himself from President Trump. The voters that we sampled, 84.5% of them really dislike Trump. I mean, it's visceral. And even though he has separated himself from them, much of the if you want to call it, drag on his campaign in the African-American community is because he is simply a Republican. Mm-hmm. So this idea, the USA Today poll that came out last week that shows that when voters are going to be voting in the midterms, are really voting for Trump or against Trump or his agenda, is actually true. And even those so-called moderate Republicans like Hogan here in Maryland, he's at a disadvantage and is reflected in the data that, you know, we collected.
So when you look at your data and then just sampling across the country, is it fair to say that this 2018 midterm election is a referendum on President Trump?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, this, I think that the turnout that will come next week will be primarily because of Trump. He's entered races. You know, we've been fortunate in Baltimore that in Maryland that he hasn't really said that much about the gubernatorial race. He has, though, as you know, just called the brother that's running for governor in Florida a thief. Andrew Gillum, even though we know that the FBI set up Andrew Gillum to buy those so-called Hamilton tickets. That's the big controversy down there. And with regards to Stacey Abrams in Georgia, he has sided and ignored the obvious voter intimidation and suppression that's occurring in that state. So this is a referendum on Trump, no doubt, and our data show that.
The voter suppression that has been reported around the country, you've studied elections and voter behavior with respect to African Americans. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This, I thought the worst that I had seen was in the 70s and the 60s, right after the passage of civil rights legislation. But this stuff is so overt now. It's not even being hit. Georgia is not the only example. You may know out in the Dakotas that there's many Native Americans are being suppressed in their attempt to vote because they have post office boxes rather than addresses on the reservation. And they're not being allowed to vote. So we're seeing names switched around on ballots, not only in Georgia, but also in Florida where there's that other group. So this is widespread right now. The only way the Republicans can really win now is to cheat. And we're seeing that because voter suppression is cheating. And because of the alienation of moderate Republicans from Trump who have moved to the independent level, the party, the Republican Party, which has been captured by Trump, is a relatively small group of loyal followers. He has maintained that 34-35% absolutely loyal followers throughout his entire presidency, which is, seems like longer than it was, almost 2 years old, and it's not going anyplace.
What is at stake for African-American voters in this midterm election?
Well, the country's already going to shift relative to the Supreme Court. The legacy of Trump is going to be impacting black folk and women and other groups for the next 40 to 50 years. The Supreme Court, he's gotten two Supreme Court appointments, and it's just like the Warren Court of the mid-1950s impacted voter rights, civil rights, open housing, affirmative action for 50 years. That court is now officially dead. We've had relatively moderate to liberal Supreme Court. So his appointments are going to have an impact. The tax cuts on on Americans in general are going to have an impact. So the legacy of this president, which arguably is one of the most corrupt administrations in American history, it's the legacy of this administration is going to last into my grandchildren's lifetime.
Well, what we're seeing is that African-American voters and other Americans of color are motivated to get to the polls. So it seems that the message has been received, and people can see for themselves. In your polling, what other data did you all uncover?
Well, we looked at ages as well. Now, keep in mind, these are black Maryland voters, but if our data, you know, kind of represent the country in general, this is by far the most disliked president in American history by black people. Bush has enjoyed higher numbers. Again, we had about 84.5% of those disapproving of. Interesting enough, the biggest disapproval, and this kind of troubled us as we're still analyzing some of this data, but younger people have less problems with Trump than the older generation. Overall, you know, all groups have problems with him. But it's interesting, this past weekend, we saw this so-called Black Leadership Summit in Washington.
And it was younger. How do you explain that?
Well, I think this is the generation that has grown up without the civil rights movement, where they have always known they had a black president for 8 years, and they kind of see this almost a Pollyannish view of, you know, the presidency, the White House, and so forth. I'm worried about the fact, and we are at the Institute looking at these data coming from the young people who, again, they don't like Trump, but not as much as the older sample that we got, who have experienced problems during the civil rights era and so forth. Young people have to read more history, I think.
And they found a poster child in Kanye West.
Oh, my God. He's the this Blexit thing that he's trying to, you know, exit Democrats into the Republican Party. It's affected a lot of young people. There's a growing group. I can't think of this young lady. She's black. And she's kind of like the darling of Fox News right now because she denounces, you know, Democrats and anybody who supports the Democratic ticket. So they're having spokespeople that are very loud, very vocal, like Kanye and others. And, you know, that troubles me because that means that there's no sense of history among this group. It's not a large group, but even the data that we polled showed that younger people don't mind Trump and don't see him as threatening as older people. And that has a lot to do with their exposure to history.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of history, the joint poll that Morgan State and the Afro worked on to produce is fairly rare. We don't often see two African-American institutions collaborating to produce a poll. Going forward, more collaborations, and can you see something like this on a national level?
Oh, absolutely. We've been planning this. Dr. Francis Draper, the owner of the Afro, people may know that the Afro is the oldest continuing published news, black newspaper in the country. It's been published since right after the Civil War, continuously. And we started having these talks almost 10 months ago about a joint poll. There is no national black poll conducted by black institutions in this country. We've already done that research. So the gubernatorial race in Maryland, which is historic, we decided to kind of pilot our approach to the data as well as the polling here in Maryland, but we plan on going national. And in fact, in the process, probably within a year, we're going to be doing national polling the way Gallup, Harris, or any other organization does. There's just an absence of this around the country, and we wanted to do it.
And there is a need. We look forward to the national polls, and thank you so much for sharing the data from the poll that you just completed. Dr. Ray Winbush from Morgan State University, always a pleasure to have you with us in the Village.
My pleasure, too. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org. Tuesday, November 6th is an important day. Your vote matters. When you go to the polls, vote for Issue 4 that will allow casino gaming in Arkansas. It's an opportunity to bring jobs for thousands of Arkansans, new tax revenue for the host cities, and for the entire state. So on Tuesday, vote for Issue 4, paid for by Driving Arkansas Forward.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. One of the most popular museums in the country is located in Little Rock, Arkansas, the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. We are joined now by the center's director, Christina Schutt. Christina, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me today.
What is the history of the center and the national legacy of the building that it calls home?
Well, we are located in downtown Little Rock at the corner of Broadway and 9th. And what's important about that is that 9th Street was the historic Black business district of Little Rock. It would be similar to how we think of Beale Street in Memphis today. So this street had businesses of every type. They had hair shops, barbers, they had restaurants, they had clubs like Red's Pool Hall here on 9th Street. And, of course, anchoring 9th Street at the corner of Broadway was the Mosaic Templars of America International Headquarters Building, which was founded in the 1890s by two former enslaved men, John Bush and Chester Keats. And so our museum tells a little bit about their story and how they came to have a thriving business and a thriving professional organization that existed in 26 states and a number of international countries. So we tell some of their story, but we also tell the story of 9th Street and really of African Americans throughout Arkansas. So we include a lot of stories about Pine Bluff. We have some stories about the Fort Smith area, Jonesboro. So kind of every section of the state where African Americans lived and worked and had community, we talk about that here at the museum.
And so there is a lot of African American history that has a national connection right here in Arkansas. Tell us about some of the exhibits you and your team have sponsored that are considered national attractions.
Well, right now we have got the exhibit called 50 Years of Respect, celebrating AfriCobra now. And so AfriCobra was founded by Jeff Donaldson, who was a Pine Bluff native. Jeff was a noted African-American artist who, of course, was born here but moved to Chicago because at the time his art wasn't welcome here in the city. And so Jeff, in working with a number of other artists like Wadsworth Jarrell, Barbara Jones Hogarth, kind of founded a artist collective. And so they encouraged each other. They challenged each other. They worked together to celebrate a uniquely African-American art aesthetic. Their most notable and significant contribution to the art world was probably the Wall of Respect, which was built in 1968 in the Bronzeville neighborhood of Chicago. For any of those Chicago listeners you've got on your show. And so this wall was a centerpiece for the community. Not only did it showcase in visual form African Americans who were instrumental in helping to further the community, people like Malcolm X, people like Gwendolyn Brooks, so just all sorts of writers and politicians and folks like that that were on this wall, but this wall hosted poetry slams. They had meetings that met at this wall, so it was a pretty significant piece of work. And the wall itself actually was really instrumental in kind of launching murals and public art across the U.S. and actually internationally, because there are international murals that draw their inspiration from the Wall of Respect. So this is their 50th anniversary as an artist collective this year. So we worked with all nine of the AfroCobra Now artists to put together an exhibition which celebrated their history, celebrated that uniquely African-American aesthetic that they have brought to the art world, and we got to celebrate the museum's 10-year in the process.
Well, 10 years for Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, and you're entering a new chapter in its history that involves a renovation. And tell me the inspiration behind this next chapter for you guys.
Well, yeah, so our theme is that the African-American story is woven in the past, present, and future of Arkansas. And so one of the things that we want to do with this new phase for the museum is to help people understand that African-Americans didn't just contribute. You know, we often think about it as, well, they just did this one little thing, or they just did that one little thing. But we really want to help people understand that African-Americans were essential to the building of Arkansas, to the prosperity that we enjoy today in this state and in this country, really. And so that's what this new exhibit is all about, is sharing that story and telling some untold stories, some things we don't, we haven't had the opportunity to focus on, either because the research didn't exist that we have now, or because there's just so much square footage to tell the story in. And so we're going to be talking about, we're actually working on the design plans now. And as part of this exhibit, we're going to be talking about places like Hot Springs, Arkansas, which had a thriving black business district and actually had a black bathhouse. So we'll be talking about them. We'll be talking about places like the integration of Hoxie, which actually happened before Little Rock Central High integrated. So those are the kind of stories that we're going to be telling with this new design of our first floor space, and really just inviting people into that. Kind of that untold story of Arkansas's past. People can actually get a glimpse of it. We've already begun to kind of showcase some of that within our exhibits presently, with things like the AfroCobra story. But you'll get to see a little bit more of that actually next year as we prepare for our forestry exhibit. We're going to talk about how African-American involvement has been essential to the timber industry.
That sounds very fascinating. And I love the word that you're using, essential, not just a part, but an essential component to the history of Arkansas and the history of the entire country. Do you think there's a renewed interest in African-American history? And if so, how much of that has to do with the National Museum of African-American History and Culture in Washington, D.C.?
I think a lot of it has to do with that. So the fact that we've got a museum on the National Mall, I think, sets a certain tone, right? It validates that history and says it's important, not just in the local communities, which is often where we see African-American history museums kind of existing. That's where they have their roots and really come out of in the 1960s, are these sort of community museums. But moving and transitioning to this national scene and national story, I think, has been really vital to increasing that interest. One of the things, I've actually been to the new museum, to the new Smithsonian, and it's definitely fantastic, but because they only have so much square footage, they can't tell everybody's story. And one of the benefits of being a state museum is that we get the opportunity to tell the Arkansas story, to tell the story that's relevant to the people who live and work and have community here in the state. So while, you know, I saw probably three or four mentions of Arkansas at the Smithsonian, our whole museum's purpose is to tell the Arkansas story. So that's what you're going to see when you come visit us.
And this is a case where when you run out of space, it's actually a great thing. So if they have limited space in Washington, and as you mentioned, you guys have limited space now, so you do need this renovation. Once you have more square footage, tell us what you see in the future for Mosaic Templars.
Well, of course, the biggest thing that people will notice will be the interactive components. So if you visited our museum now, you'll notice that it's a wonderful museum, which tells a great story, but there's not oftentimes ways to interact with the content. So we want to be really engaging and kind of target those families that have children, that they want their kids to learn about history. but their kids maybe even aren't old enough to read the history on the wall. So there's interactive components like that. There will be more opportunities for people to see themselves within the exhibit. So one of the things I'm most excited about is our section that will be talking about mothers and fathers. One of the things that we're really passionate about here at the museum is helping people understand what African-American families really look like. I think oftentimes in the media you hear things about broken homes and broken families, and the thing that we really want to help people understand is that maybe is not the whole story, right? Maybe that's not really the story, that there are mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles and grandparents that are engaged in their community, that are engaged with their families. And so we want to show those people. We want to showcase those photos and tell their stories about how they were building community starting at the home. So that's one of the places I'm just really excited about that, again, is not a story that we've really told before. We often focus on the great men who make history. And this new exhibition is really about focusing on the everyday people who make history, that our choice to be a part of a community and to be a good and productive citizen is making history every day.
I love that. And so what's the timeline? You mentioned maybe a couple more weeks, and then you guys will have your plans finalized. So walk us through the next year, 18 months. How long does it take to do a project of this magnitude?
Well, so in the next couple of weeks, we will finalize the design portion of it. And so at that point, people will be able to go to our website, mosaictemplarcenter.com, and they'll be able to see the plans. They will be able to see kind of our interpretive philosophy, as it were, for why we're making these changes and what's needed to make it happen. And then, of course, we'll kind of start into a capital campaign for the museum because, you know, we believe that the support is really out there for people to partner with us through this experience. So we will have a partnership packet lined up for people, and they'll be able to donate to the museum to really make this exhibit a reality. And to make it a success. I'm so excited that we've been able to retain Exhibit Concepts as our designer and fabricator for this project. And as you may know, the Exhibit Concepts were the fabricators or builders for the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum, which is just a fantastic piece of work. So I'm excited to have them on board, and I'm more excited for opportunities that we'll have to talk with the community about how they can be financially involved in making this project a success.
It's a very exciting time, and congratulations on doing such an outstanding job that
you
need more space.
Thank you so much.
It's the best type of problem to have. Thank you for joining us, Christina, and we look forward to talking with you throughout the process of the renovation at Mosaic Templars, and continued success.
Thanks, Vicki.
And we'll be right back.
Tuesday, November 6th is an important day. Your vote matters. When you go to the polls, vote for Issue 4 that will allow casino gaming in Arkansas. It's an opportunity to bring jobs for thousands of Arkansans, new tax revenue for the host cities, and for the entire state. So on Tuesday, vote for Issue 4, paid for by Driving Arkansas Forward.